Amen. Well, well, well. Oh, that was beautiful, wasn't it? Oh, you know, we could all... Am I a little hot? Am I okay, volume-wise? Okay, it's hot up here. Oh, wow, that was beautiful, and look at this. You just can't beat this service right here. Thank you. I'm too old to have the hanky in the pocket. I'm too young to have that. You know, maybe in a few years when I have my hair slicked back, we can have that and I start wearing suits. Never. All right. Okay. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn with me and you should know where we are. We're in the book of Mark right now. We're looking at chapter 10, and today we'll begin focusing on verses 46 through 52. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning. And how many of you enjoyed that prayer time? Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. That was purposeful because that is just kind of going into where we're going today with God's word. What a great scripture, I think, when we look at Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, because what it does is, if we're really looking at it, it reveals our true need, it reveals our true predicament that we're in, and the only way for that true need to be met, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And so what a great setup for the main text that we're going to spend our time in this morning in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 42. Today's sermon title is Your Faith Has Made You Well. So by this point in the book of Mark, and we've kind of spent quite a bit of time in it over the last year and a half, off and on, give or take. And I got to be honest with you, I've done the book of Mark before. I know Charlie has too. I can only speak for myself, but I'm enjoying this so much more than I ever have before. As we're going through this, just with the intentionality that we have in it. But by this point in the book of Mark, we have seen and experienced a lot of miracles together, haven't we? I mean, we're in chapter 10. The Holy Spirit, we have seen him speak to crowds, preparing the way for Jesus. We have seen sick and demon-possessed people and children being healed. We've seen kids, children being raised back to life throughout the book of Mark. We've seen thousands of people being fed. You remember that? With five loaves and a fish? Amazing, isn't it? We've seen accounts of calling as well from Jesus being baptized and the heavens opening up and God saying to his son, this is my son who I am well pleased in. And he called him into ministry. That's where he began his ministry, his journey toward the cross and ultimately towards resurrection for you and for me. There are accounts also of the calling of the 12 disciples where we see Jesus calling them saying, come with me on this journey and I will make you fishers of men. We've seen that as well. It's been said, though, of this passage that we're looking at today, it's been said by not me, but another scholarly theologian, it's not often that we're going to read accounts in the Bible that so clearly blend, this is important, the one being healed also becoming the one who follows. And this is a clear case for that. And so the scripture focuses on a blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus. And he's special. Not because he's blind. Don't take that the wrong way. He is special. You see, we may not understand that from looking at the description that we see in the Bible of him right here in chapter 10, verses 42 through 46 through 52. But what we see is he's blind. He's a beggar. But he has a very, very important gift. A very, very important gift. A gift that allows him to come close to Jesus. Closer than so many people would have imagined. What a blessing this gift was to him. Because if he had not realized this gift that he had, well, he might never have approached Jesus. He might never have been healed. And you're probably wondering, well, what is this special gift that Bartimaeus has? What are you talking about? Well, if you haven't figured it out yet, it's his faith. It's his faith. We're going to read in just a few moments in the text. Jesus looks at him and he says, your faith has made you well. Jesus says that to him. And what we need to glean from that this morning, what we need to learn from that this morning is a very important lesson that Bartimaeus is teaching us about how that gift can help us to follow Jesus more closely, more intimately, more deeply. And so in Mark chapter 10, verses 46, let's start there and then we're going to pray. The scripture starts with, "And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him, 'Shh, be quiet.' But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me.'" And catch this, look what it says here. Verse 49, "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up. He is calling you.'" And catch this. "And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want from me? What is it that you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way.'" Make a note of that. "Go your way." Catch that? "Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way." Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning, Lord God, just to make this word just come alive. Paint a vivid picture in our hearts and our mind that would point us to Jesus, that would point us to even this special gift that Bartimaeus has, so that we would realize we have that special gift within us as well, Lord God, that we need to recognize it so that we would recognize Jesus. And I pray this morning, Lord God, I would get out of the way, that you would just use me, Lord, in my finite place, Lord, because I am imperfect. I need you to speak and speak clearly, Lord God, and use me so that what we hear is what you want us to hear from heaven. And I pray that when we hear it, we would not let it fall on deaf ears, but rather, Lord, your word would challenge, convict us to the core. As the scripture says, cut to the bone, so that we might, Lord, respond and see how you have stopped waiting for us. I pray that now in Jesus' name, and we all agreed and we said, amen. So we see Bartimaeus sitting on the ground, according to scripture. And from what we understand, he's on the roadside, and because he is blind, because he is a beggar, he is dependent on others. He's dependent on others meeting his need. We've established why. And listen, we don't know how long he's been blind, but he's there, he's blind, and he hears footsteps getting closer and a crowd getting closer. It's coming his way. And he hears what's going on because he can't see, but he can hear really well. He hears a lot of voices, and he hears Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And he begins to become more alert. And I'm sure that as he hears that it is Jesus of Nazareth with this crowd, I begin to think, and I would do the same thing. He's starting to think in his mind. He's reflecting in his mind all the things that he has heard about this person, Jesus. He's heard that he's healed so many people. He's heard about all the accounts of the miracles because he's on the roadside. He's hearing everything that's coming and going from the people. And he realizes in that moment, He's got to be the one that is sent by God. He must be the one that is sent by God, because no one can do the things that he has done unless God has sent them. And you know what he does in that moment? This is important. I need you to really give me your attention for the next few minutes. You need to hear what God is going to say to us through this scripture this morning. In that moment, he realizes that Jesus of Nazareth, can change his life. So he cries out and he says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I don't know where he is because I can't see him. They're saying he's here, and I'm just going to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Look what it says in verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho. He was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside." And what was he doing? He was listening. As people were coming, he was listening. He was listening. And you know what we need to understand? Not only is he making a plea for mercy. That's the first thing that we see in the scripture. He makes a plea for mercy. But you know what made that plea for mercy happen? Do you know? Hearing was the initiator. Hearing that Jesus of Nazareth was coming was the initiator of the plea of mercy. You know, we don't know from the text if he was blind from birth or maybe it happened later in life. We don't know if he's ever seen his family. We do know that he is dependent on others to take care of him, because I have never experienced this, so I can't speak to it, but Lord, I don't want to ever imagine what it would feel like, but blindness is a physical hardship. It just is. And can you imagine? He's sitting by the street on the roadside. He hears these footsteps, a bunch of them. He hears voices moving in that same direction. The crowd's coming. What's going on? Something's happening here. Something's going on. And he listens and he hears, it's Jesus of Nazareth. And he goes, "Jesus? Did they say Jesus? Jesus is here? He's here?" He can't see him. He heard about him. He knew who he was. He knew what they said about him. And notice this, and this is so important. I want you to get a hold of what I'm about to tell you. This is so important. That hearing that I just said was initiator, that hearing initiates the healing that he would eventually experience. Before he ever requested mercy, he had to hear about it first. Did you catch that? Before he ever requested mercy, he had to hear about it first. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God." Hey, man, isn't that good? So hearing is the initiator, and he heard Jesus of Nazareth, and my gosh, there's something interesting that we just overlook here so often because we're just diving so quickly through the Bible. I don't know if it's because of lack of understanding or because we just are reading and we miss this, but notice how he addresses Jesus. He says, "Jesus, son of David." Why is that important? I'm like, okay, that's cool. I mean, it's just a title, right? It's a title. No, it means something so much more. What does that mean? What does it mean? Well, when you see Son of David, it equals Messiah. It equals, he's saying he's the Messiah. He's acknowledging that Jesus is the Messiah. He's saying, "Jesus, Son of David, Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, have mercy on me." This is huge. Someone in here needs to hear what I'm about to preach. This is huge. You see, because we need to notice something about Bartimaeus right now. This is important. And while we notice it about him, listen to me, we need to notice it about ourselves. Are you with me? And you know what that is? In that moment, he realizes his need. He realizes his need. You see, because of his predicament, he was blind, he was a beggar, and probably as a result of being blind and being a beggar on the side of the street, he was probably in poor health as well, I would imagine, wouldn't you? He struggled through life, overlooked, surviving on the goodwill of those who took pity on him as they walked by. That's how he lived his life. But Bartimaeus, this is important, listen, he knew he had need. We all know we've got need, right? We all know we've got need. But in that moment, upon hearing the crowd and wondering what was going on, when he heard the name Jesus of Nazareth, in that moment, he went from knowing he had need to understanding that he was in need of Jesus. You see the difference? You know what happens as a result of that? He becomes desperate. He becomes desperate. In that moment, while he knew he had need, now he was desperate, desperately in need of Jesus. His needs became more apparent to him than ever in that moment. Jesus? Jesus is here. He's here? Where? I've heard about him. I know who he is. And you know what he does in this moment? He becomes insistent. He realizes need, he's making a plea, and now he's becoming insistent. He's becoming insistent. He's insistent on getting to Jesus. He was insistent on getting Jesus' attention, the one who could change his life. And he cried out. And those in the crowd, they turned around and they were like, "Dude, shh, shut it. This is Jesus, man. You're on the side of the road. You're blind. You're a beggar. He's on a mission. He doesn't have time for you. Shut up. Shh. Don't you know what he's doing? He's on a mission that he's got to fulfill. He's on his way to Rome. Yeah, that's right. He's going on his way to Rome, but he's going to stop in Jerusalem. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to take names, and he's going to kick Roman butt. Excuse my French. That's what he's going to do. He's going to do that. He's going to become king, and he's going to overthrow him. We can't stop for you. So they thought. And all of that, they still had the wrong idea of why Jesus was there, too. Yeah, they were following Jesus along because, man, he's marching to Jerusalem, and he's going to take care of the Romans for us. He's going to set us free. We are going to be free, free, free. They missed the point. And because of that attitude, listen to me this morning, because all they could focus on what they wanted, they didn't care about the people that are around them. And you know, here's the thing. I mean, I'm going to step on some toes. We sit here today in the church, and we look around, we're looking to heaven, waiting for Jesus to come back. We're like, "Jesus, please come back, rescue us from the political strife, from the end of the world, from the fear of tomorrow, from all the worries of life that I caused me. Oh, help me, Jesus." Because Jesus is, we're acting just like those disciples last week. This is what I want you to do for me. Give me everything that I want, that I desire. We sit here in juxtaposition, we really do, of what we read. We look at those Jews and we go, "Dummies." And we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We follow Jesus and I'm just saying in general, we see this case of the church following Jesus and they think of this as an escapism religion. And it's not. Jesus made it clear when he said, "You've got to count the cost of following me. There will be suffering." I remember way back in the early 90s, I took the youth group to Winterfest in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Big deal. I mean, there were probably 10, 15,000 teenagers and a bunch of distraught youth pastors like myself. Like, you know, it's been a week there, you know, and hey, man, you know what I'm like. And I remember, you probably never heard of them. Maybe you have Lyndall Cooley in the Brownsville choir. Anybody ever heard of them? Anybody? Raise your hand if you heard of them. Anyway, "Little talks like this, he's got a voice, and he's white, and he sounds like, I mean, just, man can sing, you know?" And I remember he's up there, they're singing a song and praising God, and the kids are, "Yeah!" you know, everybody's excited. And then he goes, stop the music. Just stop the music. And I stop the music. I'm saying, what's going on, dude? This is weird. You know, we're sitting in the, and he goes, and he falls to his knees. I remember this to this day. He drops and he goes, we've been living in the blessings too long. It's time to suffer. You talk about shutting down the room. But he's right. He's right. We haven't counted the cost of following Jesus. He's right. We've been so blessed to the access that, you know what, we forget the mission and the blind man gets ignored. The lost are going to hell. Who cares? We're blessed. And the truth is, when we think that way, we are no better than the Jews who were following Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. See, there's such a focus on earthly winds, we lose sight of eternity. We lose sight of eternity. We lose sight of God's will, what it is in the present, the here and now. And you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. The primary calling on our lives is to be with him. It's just to be with him, intimately be with him. It says in Deuteronomy, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all, you know, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. That's the primary call in our lives. And then this is the second part. And then it is to, guess what? The expansion of his kingdom, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, here's the problem. We have not recognized our need. And Bartimaeus is showing us our need this morning. You see, because when we recognize how needy we really are, nothing will stop us from crying out for mercy. Do you hear me? And so catch this. He makes a plea of mercy, and then there's Jesus' response. Listen, this is important. People, everybody point to yourself. People that walk with Jesus should be so different than others because of Jesus living inside of them that they attract people, not push them away. They attract people, they don't push them away. So you know what Jesus is about to do because of these people trying to quiet Bartimaeus? He's got somewhere to be. Shush. Jesus is about to give them a time of correction. In Mark 10:48, many rebuked him, telling him, be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. They tried to silence this blind man, maybe because they thought, listen, and sometimes we do this too, maybe because they thought the mission of Jesus was too big for this one blind man. I mean, Jesus doesn't have time to stop for him. Sometimes we do this, you know. Oh, God, forgive us. I was with one of my planners not too long ago, and he ran into a prominent Christian minister at a conference. He happened just to get on the elevator with him, and he had two goons with him, I guess. They were protection, you know, and he said, hey, brother, how you doing? And this prominent preacher, I won't say his name, didn't say hello, but instead slid his men in front of him to block him from being able to see, talk to him. That's not Jesus. And if we act that way, oh God, forgive me if I've ever done that. That's not Jesus. Jesus serves. I didn't come to serve, but to be served, to be a ransom for many. That's the example that we should be as well. We can never get to the point that we think Jesus is too busy or too big or too good to help. We might act like that sometimes. I probably have. God, forgive me. Someone's needing Jesus. Shh. Too busy. Shh. Can't you see? He's doing something important. He's going somewhere important. He's going to Jerusalem. Shh. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. He's perfect. You're not. Ciao. Shh. Stop. You can't slow him down. Don't you look at your life. Look at where you are. You're on the side of the street because you're blind. I don't know why you got there, but you could have done something differently. Jesus doesn't have time for people like you that make bad decisions. I'm sorry. The enemy, listen to me this morning, wants nothing more than for that crowd and even the church today to believe that this lie, that the lost don't matter. Yeah, that's right. You know how he spreads those lies? Oh, look at that person. They're too broken to be saved. They're too far gone. What's the point? Oh, that person is way too mean to me for me to share the gospel of Jesus with them. They can just figure it out. Well, they won't listen. Let's give up. Or maybe you think you're inadequate, and you think, well, I don't know enough of the word to talk to them. I just can't do that. I don't know what to share. And you know what we should do? You know what I should do? You know what we should all do? We should repent of that. We should repent of that, that attitude, and choose to trust Jesus' gospel. Amen? Romans 1:16, it says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and then also the Greek." Are you with me this morning? We're about to get serious. So that takes us to what happens next. Jesus, he makes a plea for mercy. Jesus responds, and as a result, we see regeneration. We see transformation of a man. You see, he kept on shouting, Son of David, imagine you're blind. Have mercy on me. I don't know where you are, but Son of David, have mercy on me, Messiah. That's what he's saying. Have mercy on me. This is important. This is so important. You know how the regeneration begins? That special gift to Marvinus, you know how it begins? He was surrendered. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. He was surrendered. He got rid of anything that was a hindrance on him. His pride, his concern of what other people thought about him. Well, what are they going to think if I raise my hand, or if I say something, or if I go up to the front? Well, what are they going to think? He had to get over himself, his own self-doubt. Well, can he do this? You see, we always ask God, can you? And we should say, he can. And you know what Scripture says? It says he threw it all off. Son of David, no, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. No, Son of David, have mercy on me. He didn't care. And then he's called by Jesus. And you know what he does? Everything that he had, his pride, his self-doubt, his worry about what other people, he threw all those hindrances off. And the Scripture says he took off his outer garment, threw it down, sprang up, and went to Jesus. Some of you in this room, some of you who are watching, you know you have need. You know that you need to come to Jesus, but you're holding on to the things that hinder. You're holding on to the things that hinder. And they hinder you, listen, from experiencing Jesus and the grace that he desires to pour out on your life so that you would be regenerated, so that you would be transformed. And you know what you need to do this morning? Hear me. You need to lay them down. You need to lay them down. You know what else led to his regeneration? He was specific. How do we know that? Well, Jesus says, what is it that you want me to do for you? What is it that you need? And he says, I need to see. I need to see. You see, we need to be real with Jesus. Oh, we dance around in our prayer time, don't we? Oh, Father, thou art in heaven. You know? And we just need to be real with him. I say it this way, and people get upset with it. We just need to get down and dirty with Jesus. You know what I mean? Stop playing these games, you know, trying to be all spiritual when you pray. Just be real with Jesus. Be honest about your need. Jesus really wants to know. We dance around it sometimes. You know, Lord, I pray for this couple. I pray for him. I pray, oh, Lord, please touch them. You know, oh, by the way, Lord, just get to it. He's either going to say yes, no, or not now. And because he was specific, because he was real with the Lord, because he acknowledged, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, what is it that you want me to do for you? The Bible makes it clear that he was saved by Jesus. Let me pity pat around that. You know, just be real. He was saved by Jesus. This is what Jesus said. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And his eyes were opened. His eyes were opened. He was healed. And this is something important. That language, made well, when you just pair it with faith, that is essentially a picture of saving faith right there. That's a picture of saving faith. If you could just paint a picture, that's what it looked like. And from that moment on, the regeneration led to something else. Now he was committed. He was committed. He was committed to what? He was committed to Jesus. He was committed to Jesus. Jesus said, go your way. But now he said, no, I'm going to go your way. I'm going to follow you where you go, where you want me to go. And where was he going? To the cross. Where was Jesus leading him? To the cross. Verse 49, it says, and Jesus stopped and said, and called him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up. He is calling you. And Jesus is calling you too. The Bible tells us to sit still. And you know, when Jesus stopped, people did too. They did. Think about it. If we go all through the Gospels, we can see that when Jesus stopped, people stopped with him as well. The one with that bad reputation, the woman at the well, remember that in John chapter 4? Well, Jesus made her new because she stopped and listened. She heard what he had to say. The 5,000 plus people who were hungry, he said, we're hungry. And the disciples were like, send them away. You remember that? See, Jesus is too important for that. No, he's not. Jesus said, no, we're going to feed them. And he fed 5,000 and they were well fed, weren't they? So much so that there were baskets of food left over. Can you imagine seeing that? The woman with that demon-possessed daughter in Matthew chapter 15, well, Jesus set her free. Amen? He made her free. He excised that demon out of her. Amen? The woman with the bleeding problem in Mark chapter 5, well, Jesus made her whole. All she had to do was what? Touch his garment. Remember that? They said, who touched my garment? Who took power? Power just flowed from me, right? How about the prostitute and the Pharisees that wanted to stone her? What did he do? He forgave her. And she followed him too, amen? How about hopeless people? Well, Jesus gives them hope. I got news for you. Jesus gives you hope. Anyone who has disease and sick, Jesus can heal. The broken, Jesus puts them back together. If you're broken this morning, Jesus can put you back together. What is your need? Recognize it and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. Anxiety? You got anxiety and you're driven by anxiety in your life? Well, I got news for you. If you're worried about if you don't have any purpose, well, Jesus can take care of that anxiety. Jesus can give you purpose. addicted to drugs, addicted to something else, addicted to porn, guess what? Jesus can get you out of that mess and make you pure. You see, Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, is approachable. He's approachable. Sometimes we think of Jesus, he's far off, distant, and we can't, oh, I shouldn't pray that to him. That's too little. I shouldn't do that. He's approachable. He cares about, well, what do you think it would say in Matthew 11 if it says, cast your cares on me for I care for you, right? Cast those burdens on me. I care about you. If that weren't true, then he wouldn't put it in the Bible. Oh man, I'm sorry guys. I'm preaching this morning. I feel like I haven't preached in 6 weeks. And so the crowd walks this man to Jesus after he sprang up. He approached Jesus, and he approached Jesus, this is important, in faith. In faith. It was faith that caused him to be determined to reach Jesus, to go after him, to cry out even the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That might be you this morning going, that's me. Instead, you've been like, Google, 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 friends, 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 going to the wrong places. It's like that song, looking for love in all the wrong places. We do that, don't we? It's right there. Go to God. It was faith that made him recognize that he knew that he needed Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. It was faith that caused him to humbly come to Jesus, just cast everything off and say, I don't care, I need Jesus. It was faith that caused Jesus to ask him, what is it that you want that I might receive sight? This morning, Jesus is asking you, what do you want from him? Now, I have to preface this. According to his purposes. According to his will. Jesus is not a golden donkey in heaven. You just pull on the, give me whatever I want. No. Mm-mm. He's God. And everything that he does and every request that you make should be according to his purposes. And if you don't get an answer, then you need to evaluate your prayer, your request. You see, because this is what it really boils down to. All of us have spiritual need. We are all in a predicament. That's it at the end of the day. And Bartimaeus, you know what? He realized his predicament. We need to realize our predicament. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And so what's your need? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And listen, it's not that in the case of Bartimaeus and even you, it wasn't that Jesus needed to know what was the problem or what was his problem, because he knew what it was. He knows what is your problem. You might just be hiding. You don't want to admit it. Your pride. I don't know what it might be. You see, what it boils down to is Bartimaeus needed to recognize what his need was. And we heard, when he heard the name of Jesus, when he recognized they're talking about Jesus, Jesus is here, Jesus is here, he knew in that moment he had need, but now he knew he needed Jesus. And in order for him to fully be regenerated, he had to be surrendered. He had to be surrendered. So this morning, look, do you want healing in your life? And I'm not talking about like, it doesn't have to be spiritual. I mean, it doesn't have to be physical. It doesn't have to be, sometimes people, you know, I got this little sore on my arm. No, it could be spiritual. It could be emotional. It could be mental. It could be all sorts of things that are in our life and we might need healing. And we just don't realize it. Then it's time for you to be honest. Be honest with Jesus. It's time for you to cast off your pride. And it's time for you to be real with Jesus. Cast off everything that hinders. I want to close with three questions. and this is important, thinking about what we have just looked at in this text, when it comes to recognizing those who are far from Christ, who comes to mind? Who comes to your mind? Are you concerned for them? Are you reaching out to them? Are you, shh? And after hearing this message, has God revealed to you maybe that you're spiritually blind? Or maybe there's some blind spots in your life that you haven't noticed before for lack of awareness? And have you believed the lie of the enemy that the gospel can't help certain people? Maybe the gospel can't help you. That's a lie. So what do you stand in need of this morning? What do you stand in need of this morning? Salvation? Maybe some sort of spiritual blindness? Maybe you need spiritual sight? I can tell you, we all need spiritual sight. We so often look through the lens of the flesh, and we see things from our perspective or from the world's perspective. Guys, you have no idea how in your lifetime you have been desensitized. It's just culture. It does it to you, and you realize, okay. And that's why we got to really get rooted in God's word, and we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us of what we think versus what God thinks, what we see versus what God sees, what we feel versus what God feels. So what's your need? You see, because I ask that, whatever it is, because Jesus is the answer. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. It is time to cast off all that hinders. And just like Bartimaeus, who recognized his need, cry out to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I promise you this, Jesus is going to stop. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word this morning, Lord. I pray that it did not fall on deaf ears, but this morning, Lord God, someone's life is being transformed, regenerated by what they've heard. Right now, in this moment, they're crying out to you, recognizing who you are, recognizing the need in their life, and that you are the answer. Right now, they're crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. By faith, Lord, I pray that we would come to you this morning. By faith, I pray that we would surrender. That we make our plea for mercy. And trust your response. Because for anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, it's always the same. You're there and you're ready. But we must be fully surrendered. We must cast off all that hinders off. So this morning, Lord, I pray for those listening that, Lord, this morning, would be a time not only of honesty, recognizing our need, but also a time of change as we cry out to you, and you do what you have always been willing to do, rescue and save. May we be real this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.